Hello, and welcome back to another 3-Peat podcast. I am your host, Josh Fromowitz, and I am once again joined by my co-hosts,
Steven Benazzo,
Alex Castle.
And this week, we got a lot of sports to talk to you guys about, including some breaking news that happened not too long ago today in the NBA. And then we'll jump into some baseball news and what their arguments are going on about, and Korean baseball, because we all love some good Korean baseball. And lastly, we will introduce a fun game, so stick around at the end for that. But first, like I said, we got to talk some basketball. Breaking news this morning, Adrian Wojnarowski, God bless that guy. He said the NBA is leaning towards a 22-team invite to Disney, and then they would have a little regular season based off of that, 8 games, and then the playoffs. So, boys, I miss basketball. I know you both do. What are your thoughts? Let's break this down.
So when I first saw this, I was actually surprised, but also happy. The past couple of weeks, I was debating, is it worth it to have a season? But then on the show, we kind of talked about, we just want sports back. So the NBA is going to give us basketball back, and you can't be mad at that. And I kind of like the system that they're using, the 22 teams. You play 8 regular season games for seeding. The Lakers are going to have the number one spot for teams like the Pelicans. And I don't know if the Grizzlies, they might have been in that hunt
Grizzlies
too.
Are in
so,
it.
So these teams could fight for, you know, the last couple of seeds, which will be interesting. And who wouldn't want to see Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, all these young guys now tasked with trying to lead their team. They will be in the playoffs, but the higher seeds in actually winning the playoffs. So I think I'm looking forward to it. And it's almost because of this whole pandemic and everyone's just so eager, I think we're really going to see those guys give it their all. They were going to give it their all regardless, but they're really going to push themselves to try to win that championship, especially you can't count on a guy like LeBron, so, or Giannis. But I'm looking forward to some of the younger guys. It's going to be fun.
I think both the fans and the players are hungry for a return. You know, when you look at COVID-19 around the country right now, it definitely seems like it is progressing in the right direction, which I think everyone is thankful for. As we have discussed on the show previously, Disney has been the go-to location with the 6 courts on the facility grounds, 2 of them being used for broadcast. So that right there is a great setup for Adam Silver. And I think bringing back basketball is going to be great. 8 games to finish the regular season. I think it makes things a lot more intense. I think it brings a lot more competition. I mean, if everything is set in place for it to happen, why not? And I think, you know, the NBA, Silver's doing a great job. I think the people around him are doing a great job, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think, you know, you like Steve, you mentioned the guys like LeBron and Giannis, they're hungry for that stardom back. They're hungry to show the fans, you know, that this is who they are and this is what basketball is about. And I think especially because we've seen such a lack of it due to this virus, you're going to see a lot more entertaining games. You're going to see a lot more heart coming out of these guys. You know, it's unfortunate that a virus like this, you know, will put basketball in that position, but I think it'll be all for more entertainment, and I'm really excited to see what's to come out of all this.
Another thing with the season coming back, so 22 out of the 30 teams will make it, play those games, and then play in the playoffs. However, what I think the NBA should do, and I don't think they said anything about this yet, is just had those last 8 teams, those are the only teams in the lottery, not the normal 13 or 14 that they usually do. So a team like the Bulls, the Knicks, the Cavs, you know,
Hawks,
and then the other 5 teams, the
yeah.
Hawks, those teams will then will look forward to the lottery, and each of them will have at least a top 8 pick, which everyone wants number 1, number 2, number 3. But you can still get some great guys at, you know, pick number 8. So I think they should just allow those teams to get the lottery from picks number 1 through 8. Let them start finding new coaches. I know the Knicks are looking for a new coach. The Bulls, the Cavs too. They fired their coach midway through the season. And, you know, John Beilein, he was great at Michigan, had some troubles there. So, you know, let them start getting a jump on their offseason while these other teams play in the season. So then whenever the 2020-2021 season starts, every team will be ready for it to begin.
So going back to what you said about the young guys before, like, this whole thing, you were talking about the young guys in the playoffs. It'll be awesome to see guys like Luka, guys like John Moran, Zion. Those are exciting names to see. So obviously, as a basketball fan, I am excited to see all of them play in the playoffs. But then as a Nets fan, I don't know how excited I am, because I won't get to see Kyrie Irving. I won't get to see Kevin Durant. We don't have a head coach right now. We have an interim head coach in the playoffs who coached 2 games before the pandemic. Maybe even just 1 game. I am not too thrilled about this as a Nets fan, but I know that I am hungry for basketball, so it is what it is. And going back to your point about the draft lottery, I think Adam Silver will come out within the next few days. Like, once the league officially votes on it, then they'll say something about improved odds for the bottom 8 teams. Because I agree, it is unfair if someone like the Pelicans or the Blazers winning the lottery and making a playoff run. That's unfair.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to say. The poor Knicks, they never seem to get that number one pick. So this year, it might be finally their best chance to get it. Or for my Bulls, even if we don't get the number one pick, we can get a top 4 pick. But I think I just wouldn't want to see them drop to 10 or almost even maybe 13. I would not want to see that, because we need a higher pick than, say, the Pelicans, who their team looks good and they're only going to get better as they get older and more experience and better chemistry. So that's what I'm saying with the lottery.
I think the lottery should absolutely go that way. I mean, you look at, you know, my guys, the New York Knicks, we need every advantage that we can get. And I think the fact that we didn't even scratch the surface to make it in this scenario for the playoffs. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, listen, in times like this, you know, certain situations have to be switched and changed. And I think Silver is the type of guy, like Josh said, that, you know, once everything's voted on, once everything's official, I think he'll put that into motion. Now, what I'm curious to see is how the teams that are in the playoffs react to that. You know, because, yeah, they have an equal chance to make the playoffs in this scenario. But what if you have certain teams that are built right now where, okay, we're only built for a championship run for another year or two, and then we're going to need to rebuild. So it'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out and how some teams react.
One thing I want to bring up is, I don't know if you guys saw what Damian Lillard said a few days ago, how he wasn't too happy with the NBA and he wasn't too happy with the idea of the playoffs happening, or the season only starting, like, if you don't really have a shot at the playoffs, then there are going to be some meaningless games. But I think with what they voted on, or what the plan is that will be voted on with the 8 regular season games, I think that fills the need for meaningful games leading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, so the season got suspended early to mid-March, like, I forget the exact day, like March 12th, something like that. So there was still almost a full month of basketball left. So you think another 20-something odd games. But the 8 are just, it's a short amount of games, but those 8 games will mean a lot. The Bucks, clearly, no one's catching them. They got that number one seed locked up. But a team like the Heat, that's fighting for a top spot. I don't know exactly where the Heat are exactly in the East right now, but they're definitely – they're fourth. So they can try to make a push for a third – a three seed or maybe a second seed. It'll be tough. But if they can do that, that's huge for them or a team out West. There's going to be more Western Conference teams than Eastern Conference teams. So the East will have obviously the normal eight that was going to make and then one more, while the West will have a few more. So a team like the Pelicans, whatever. But if you get – you always want a top seed in the playoffs for just home field advantage. I mean, now I guess if there's not going to be fans, it won't matter much. But still, if you can get that top seed and then play a lower-tier team, why wouldn't you want that? So I think those games will be meaningful. And like we just said, it's only eight. So it's not like it's 15, 20. It's eight games and knocked out in just a few days because, like baseball, basketball is played maybe not every single day, but every other day pretty frequently, unlike football, which only happens when they only have one game a week.
I think it's just safe to say, even though it's only eight games, looking at the scenario we're in, looking at everything, every game will count. And I truly believe that every game will be exciting and will be really something that the fans will enjoy to watch.
Before we move on to baseball, just give your final predictions. Alex, I'm going to put you under the bus. You're going to go first.
Final predictions. Wow. Well, I think in the West, I got to give it to the Lakers. Before the
not
season.
The Clippers. Not the Clippers.
Not the Clippers. I'm going to give it to the Lakers. I really think that LeBron is going to come back from this whole situation and is just going to play like another type of human player, whatever you want to call it. I think LeBron's going to be an unstoppable force in this situation. He's clearly built some great chemistry with Anthony Davis. They got a lot of other great guys on that team. I think the Clippers will definitely give them a run for their money in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals. But I got to give it to the Lakers in the West. And in the East, I'm not too sure about the East, to be honest. I like a couple of different teams. I think I'm probably going to have to give it to Milwaukee. I mean, also a very great team, a lot of nice talent on there. I think Giannis is going to have similar style to LeBron, where he's just going to come out there and just tear it up on the court. So my finals prediction is Milwaukee Lakers.
So, Alex, I agree with you on the Lakers. It seems like there isn't another team besides the Lakers who is just so excited, just so eager to get back and finish the season, play basketball. I know Lakers players, I don't know if they've been practicing with LeBron in private, obviously abiding by the quarantine and COVID-19 rules and precautions, but they are so eager to get back. And LeBron not only wants to just win another championship, but, you know, he still wants to do it for Kobe and bring another title to the Lakers. So I definitely see them coming out on top in the West. In the East, you know, I could go with Milwaukee, like you said, but I'm actually going to go the Boston Celtics. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, you know, even Daniel Theis, he was playing well. So I think that team, they're young enough where they're not overworked or just older. And now their bodies, after a couple months off, you know, their bodies out of basketball ability, but they have enough leadership and veteran as well as young athletic talent. And I think Kemba Walker is finally going to show himself why he belongs in the playoffs, why he is a star, not only on the Celtics, but in this league. And the guy like Tatum, too, he was giving LeBron some tough challenges when the Celtics and Lakers had some of their games. So I think those two will square off. And ultimately, I think the Lakers do have more experience, more championship caliber players like LeBron, and they will come out on top, and the Lakers will bring home another title.
I like what both of you have said. But I'm going to go with the Clippers instead of the Lakers because, as we all know, we've been raised by coaches who taught us defense wins championships. And you look at the Clippers, you have all defensive players, top to bottom. Doc Rivers, a legendary head coach who has won championships before. He knows what it takes, especially coming back from a pandemic and this long break. It's going to take a lot of coaching to get these guys back into shape, back into have the chemistry that they had leading up into the playoffs that was cut short. So I think that the Clippers will beat the Lakers in the conference finals. And from the East, that's tough. I like what you said about the Celtics, and I was thinking about that. But I'm looking at the standings, and I'm really tempted to say the Heat because people don't really talk about them as much. But they're one of the top teams in the East, and I think they had a quiet year. People don't realize the hard work and effort that Jimmy Butler puts in. Bam Adebayo had a breakout all-star year. Then you have other key role players like Hero, Duncan Robinson, who made a huge impact to the team to contribute to where they are right now. So I think someone like them, who is young and very talented, can benefit from this long break. And then you have the fresh young legs to balance off with Jimmy Butler. I think they could be a scary team in the playoffs and make a deep run. But I think the Clippers would beat them in the finals. So if that's all we have.
No, that's a good point. I liked what you said about the Heat. They did have a very quiet season. Yeah. And Jimmy Butler, doesn't matter where he goes, he does win. You know, the last few years with the Bulls, and then he brought the Timberwolves to the playoffs. Sixers already had a good squad, but he helped them really secure a spot. And then now with the Heat, so a team like that is definitely interesting.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's a winner. He has the playoff experience, like you said. You obviously know being a Bulls fan, and you obviously know facing off against teams like the Sixers. So they could be a scary team. But we're moving right along. Another sport that really hasn't had the same success with this virus and a lot of disagreements going on between owners and players is, of course, baseball, the MLB. And it just shocks me, confuses me, everything. Like, I don't know what went wrong. Maybe you guys do. Why is there so much disagreements between the players and the owners? Steve, we'll start with you.
So the main reason for that seems to be and why I believe there's such a disagreement is the salary reduction that would happen with a shorter season. So basically, the teams, I don't know, well, just like owners agreed that some of the potential salary cuts. So a guy like Trout, who's making around $35 million, even more, or a guy like Harper and Garrett Cole, who just signed that massive contract between the 30 to 35 million range, they would only be making from like around 8 million, 7.84 million to be exact, to about 7 million or $6.95 million to be exact. That is a huge, huge difference. You know, you go from making double digits. I mean, 35 million, that's just an insane amount of money to make in 1 year to a single digits, which like not a minor league baseball player would make, but like a role player, like a Yankees, like an Austin Romine. Now he's on the Tigers, like a backup catcher making like that amount. So why would Mike Trout or Bryce Harper, Garrett Cole, who are stars of this league, especially Garrett Cole, who just signed this contract, Strasburg, now want to be making backup players money, salary. So that seems to be the big controversial idea going on with whether or not the MLB season will be back. And it seems like the owners don't really want to pay their players, which you got to understand both sides. But these players, they want their money, and you can't fault them for that. They earned it. They performed at the highest level to be able to sign their name on a paper agreeing to that contract. So for them to just have that taken, not even like, you know, just so much away from it, I could see why they're frustrated and are saying, listen, you know what? It's almost not worth it to be playing for that little amount of money. So, Castle, I don't know what you feel with that.
I think a lot of the points that you made, Steve, are very accurate. I mean, what you have to understand about the situation is with COVID-19, no matter if you're, you know, the owner of the organization or you're the guy selling peanuts in the stadium, everyone's losing money. Everyone is losing one way or the other because of the lockdowns. A lot of things get shut down. So in that sense, yes, I do see from the owner's perspective why they would want to pay less. However, if I'm a player, right, I'm also losing a lot of money. A lot of these guys could be halfway or towards the end of their career. You know, not only that, but if they're going to risk playing a short season where they're still at a good chance to get injury as opposed to playing the regular season, then yeah, they want some assurance. You know, they want that financial security. So if they do get hurt or if something happens, then they have it. So, you know, like you said, you can see both sides in the scenario. I can see both sides, I'm sure as you guys can. But I think at the end of the day, the owners have to really look at what, you know, what would come out of the risk of paying the players more. All right, we're going to pay the players a little more than we want to, fine. But we get ratings back for people watching. People could start buying merchandise again to start supporting their favorite teams. People, you know, when rules are a little better, people could start attending the ballparks. So sure, these owners might be dipping more into their pockets to pay the players what they want, but I think the reward is greater than the risk in this situation. So I hope that the owners can see that one day, and if not, I hope that, you know, some agreement can be made, because I would really hate to see Major League Baseball be the one major sport that doesn't come back in one way or another, as we're already seeing with the NBA, the NHL, and even the NFL.
To your point, both of you, I agree with what you're both saying. The fact that it could only be 50 games, which obviously isn't a lot, but at this point it's better than nothing. Players would rather just sit out the season than play those 50 games, just because it's not the full season that they would be getting paid for. So what are your thoughts on that?
That's difficult for, again, both sides, or even just as a fan, because MLB, they play 162 games on a normal year, and that's just so, plus if they make the playoffs. For the Yankees case, they play a lot of games. So to cut that by more than half, you know, that's a lot of games they're cutting out. But 50 to 60 is still a decent amount plus playoffs. So I'm for it. But if the players, or like a lot of the top stars, are not going to go out and play, then is it really worth it? I don't want to be watching just a lot of these backup guys playing because they're willing to play. But guys like Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, I don't know, or even for the Yankees, I'm trying to think if none of them have really said anything, like sitting out, like Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton. But if they're going to be sitting out, then that's not Major League Baseball, because we watch baseball to watch these stars. So if they're willing to play that 50 to 60 game season, then of course I'm going to watch it and I'll be rooting for them and be excited for it like any other season. But if they're not going to play, or it's just going to be not as fun or not as exciting, then I guess don't have it. And then I won't look forward to it, and I'll just get excited for the NBA or NHL or the NFL.
it's really just a tough situation. I think, you know, the point that you made about the Stars not playing takes away from us watching the game. Absolutely. You know, listen, don't, you know, I'm not here to discredit any player in Major League Baseball. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I think when you have these guys like Trout and Harper sitting out, it takes away something from the game. It truly does. It takes away an element that attracts a lot of people. So I think you're either all in or all out. You know, again, like you said, it's cutting more games than half the season. It's cutting more than half the season, sorry. But you still, you know, it's still a chance to play. I mean, you know, it's kind of showing me in a way, yes, a lot of it is about the money. As I said, people are losing money and all that. But wouldn't the players want to give the fans these games after everything that we've suffered, after having a lack of sports? Because isn't that what it's all about? Giving the people the entertainment and having that sense of community with your fans in that ballpark? So there's definitely a lot to analyze in the situation. And I think both sides really have to think about it. Very unique what the outcome could be. But I think that the MLB should still try to go through with it. I think 50 games is still a very hefty amount, and I still think we can get a lot of it, just as we can get a lot out of this potential 8-game scenario for the NBA once that gets voted.
And I have one more point to make and add to my opinion. So, like I said earlier, like what you just said, Alex, if they can agree that they will play that 50 to 60 game season and all the salary deductions, everything's figured out, the players agree to that, blah, 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 then by all means have it, and the Stars are going to play. But if there's going to be more trouble and controversy and, you know, all this other stuff that no one, the players and owners and league officials can't agree upon, I'd rather just have college baseball back. Bring back the College World Series, because if you're going to bring back MLB, then why can't we have some college teams come back. You don't have to worry about money. You would have to do testing for COVID on these Major League Baseball players regardless. So you could just save that for these college players and just bring like the top 25 teams that were last ranked before the season ended and just have them play. You know, I think that would be, those kids would love to just come back and play. And if they still get eligibility, but still just let them play in this tournament. I haven't seen this. This was just something I just thought of right now. But if the MLB can't figure a way to come back, I think the NCAA should maybe think of allowing these college athletes or the college baseball players and creating a little College World Series again, which usually happens around this time anyways, a little later in June. So I think that would be interesting. Josh, do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very interesting thought, and it's a good idea. I mean, the only problem is the NCAA already ruled this year, like this spring's semester worth of sports, and they canceled it, which means that all the athletes would have an extra year of eligibility for the following years. So if we were to do your idea with the College World Series tournament for the top 25 teams, then only like 25 teams would lose eligibility as opposed to the entire nation. So it was a good thought. Don't get me wrong. I like the idea. It's just not logical. But one thing that I have seen, and we all have seen work, is the Korean baseball, the KBO. And they're obviously broadcasting a game each night or morning, technically, on ESPN, and it's very interesting to watch. Yeah, there are no fans, but they've been making it work for the past month or so already. I don't know if you boys have been able to catch a game. I definitely have seen a few. I love watching the bat flips. What are you intrigued by?
So I know I watched a few games, and I follow some of the Barstool guys at baseball that follow the Yankees or Red Sox, like Eric Hubbs or Jared Karabas. But Eric Hubbs, he loves the Dinos. And the Dinos are like the top team in the league. But it's just, it's fun to watch because it's still baseball. There's some former MLB players. And then a lot of those Korean baseball players, they are very talented. And you see some of them come into the MLB, or not even just Korean, but Japanese players, Chinese players, but we're talking about the Korean baseball organization. But it has been fun to watch. I don't watch every single game, but the games I catch, it feels like I'm watching normal baseball. They have the big stadiums. It's not like they're playing on a little league field. There's no one in the stands. Sometimes they have little like signs or cardboard cutouts, but these guys are giving it their all. And I like it, and I think it's a good idea, and I'm glad that ESPN continues to air it. Alex, I don't know what your opinions are on it.
So I unfortunately am not an early riser. I know that some of these games start getting broadcasted at 5:30 in the morning our time. However, I have been doing a little research on it, just keeping up with everything that's been going on with it. And I got to say, I'm very intrigued by it. You know, the fact that an international league is broadcasted here on ESPN, I think it gives fans a taste of, you know, what sports are like overseas. I think it's, you know, just exciting to see some of the different play styles with these players. And, you know, like you said, they're not playing on, you know, these very small fields. They're playing on actually more professional fields, which is nice to see as well. And yeah, I think that the MLB, you know, can definitely take a page out of the book in the sense where you're looking at, you know, another international baseball league where, sure, it's not as flashy as the MLB. They might not have all the advertising and all the resources like that, but they're still getting fan interaction. And the fact that's being shown on ESPN, which is arguably the biggest sports network in the country, maybe even the world, is huge. So I think if you're the MLB, you really take away the fact that it's Korean baseball, you know, the rules are different, the whole system's different, this and that. Take that away. Look at the numbers and look at the fans. And I think that's what the MLB has to focus on with this. I don't see Korean baseball as a rival. I see it as an ally for Major League Baseball.
I love that you added that last point about the ally and rival, because you're 100% right, Alex. It's a good ally for baseball right now, and it's giving the fans what we need. And this is what the MLB could be doing and what it could become if they get their shit together, basically, with the agreement.
But yeah, I mean, the Korean baseball organization, they are taking the right precautions. I see in the dugout, guys have masks on. And then even in baseball, a lot of times you're separated when, like, the three outfielders, they're separated more than 6 feet or even on the bases. So baseball itself already has kind of follows the precautions, but they're doing everything right. It's just entertaining. It's just, I think, and it almost, this is what I'm trying to say now. Not only is this good for the fans that get to watch baseball again, this is extremely, extremely good for the Korean baseball organization because they're getting so many more views and followers that they wouldn't get. Like, a lot of Americans probably would not tune into Korean baseball because we have our own baseball league, the MLB. But now that that's not happening and this is happening, they're getting so many people who are, you know, like, Castle, you said you're researching, or from it's like we're watching, and not only just us three, but so many other sports fans, baseball fans. So the Korean baseball organization, they should be loving this time of shine right now, time of fame, because they're the biggest baseball league right now, and they're getting a lot of followers, a lot of viewers, and people loving it.
And a lot of people are talking about it, like we are. So, does anyone else have anything to say about baseball, Korean baseball?
Just basically, like we were saying, MLB, they gotta figure something out, because originally they said July 4th would be the start date in past discussions, but like promise, like you said, they gotta figure this shit out, or I don't think the season's gonna happen, which is sad. But Rob Manfred's gotta, the commissioner, he's gotta take control of this and really say, listen, we're gonna have a season. or you know what, no one can seem to agree to something, so 2020 season's canceled, which is sad again because Adam Silver has figured it out, NHL's commissioner has figured it out, Roger Goodell still has some time to figure it out, but he's done well with the NFL draft, NFL free agency all being virtual, so I'll give him that. But Rob Manfred, he better buckle up and get something accomplished.
Mentioned Roger Goodell, so I think that's a good segue to talk some gridiron. So football's been very quiet with free agency and other big news, and which brings up a very good point of there's a bunch of stars who remain unsigned. So we'll toss some names out and we'll give some possible signing destinations for them. So the first has to be Cam Newton, former quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, former MVP, has been in a Super Bowl, and no teams are talking to him. It seems like he's working out. He showed on his Instagram that he's working out, having private workouts safely. So, Alex, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. So, here's the thing with Cam Newton. He's made it very clear that he does not want to be a backup. Now, I don't know enough about free agency and all that, but I'm just going to take a stab in the dark here and say, when you openly dictate that when you haven't put up the MVP numbers that you used to, doesn't give you a lot of leeway. So Cam Newton, yes, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the market right now. There's no doubt about it. But the question is are there teams that are going to be that can actually sign him right now? You know, like it's an interesting situation with quarterbacks in general. I feel like, you know, like let's look at the Philly situation, for example. Carson Wentz, arguably a top five quarterback, you know, had some great seasons with Philly so far, struggled with injuries. They drafted Jalen Hurts. And now they're saying that there could be a type of system where Hurts could be the third down wildcat type of guy, something like that. And now you're also hearing some rumors about that happening in Green Bay with Rodgers and with Love. So could Cam Newton get signed somewhere? Yes. I could see him being put in that type of situation, but I don't think he's going to want to. So here's my Newton prediction. I think that New England is going to go through this season not going to go the way that they want to at all. They're going to take a gamble on this. Their quarterback's a rookie, right? Their new quarterback?
Second year.
Okay, he's a young guy.
But he did not play.
Right, he's a young guy. I think now that Gronk is with the Bucks and they don't have him, Edelman's getting old. I think that if this guy doesn't cut it, I could definitely see Belichick wanting to go after Newton and trying to build something around him. Is it going to happen for sure? No, because we all know Bill Belichick, and we all know how he is with things. And Cam Newton's the type of guy with his personality and how he talks on social media, he might not fit the ideal New England player. But I think just looking at all the teams and looking at all the situations, I could see the Pats being a top spot for him. I don't really see any other team right now, but I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about it.
So, Castle, I agree with your point because it's tough for him when he's like, I'm not going to play backup. I want to be the starter. So a team like the Chargers, before they had Tyrod Taylor, but they wanted, you know, they got Justin Herbert because they wanted to look for their future franchise QB because Cam Newton would not be their franchise QB. Or when the Bears, I'll throw my Bears in there, when they were looking for a competitor with Trubisky, if they brought in Cam, you know, Cam would think then he would just be the starter. But obviously Ryan Pace, the general manager who drafted Trubisky, still wants to see if Trubisky can finally break into the player that they thought he would be. So a guy like Foles is good because he already knows the system and he's going to try to win the starting job. But if he doesn't, he's obviously, we know he's always supportive as a backup. Or even like Josh, your Jets, Darnold's a clear number one QB, but they brought in Flacco just because Darnold had some injury and health issues last year. But he's going to be the starting guy no matter what. So really the only team that realistically that could use Cam Newton would be the Patriots. However, I think Belichick really wants to give
Stidham
a chance. See what he's got. He's very young. He was successful in college. And see if he could be their guy. And Alex, like you were saying, if the season doesn't go as well, or even if they're winning games but Stidham's not performing well, or if they're losing games and he's not performing well, then maybe bring in Cam. But I think Cam's got to realize, listen, because of your injury history, because of your age now, and the recent numbers he has put up, he can't be – not that he's greedy because he's got that mindset, like, I still want to be a starting quarterback, but you got to – actually understand and realize your situation and maybe say, you know what, let me just take any offer and I'll try to still win the starting job. If I don't, at least I have a job, at least I'm on a team, at least I have a roster spot, I'm still making money, and then go from there and possibly start.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you. I honestly could see him not remaining – I could see him remaining a free agent when the season continues, because at this time, it seems like all the teams have found their quarterbacks, with the exception of the Bears, who are going to have a competition. Sorry, Steve.
No, but, yeah, listen, it's a fact.
But like the Chargers, they have their guy, hopefully, in Herbert. The Redskins have their guy in Haskins, hopefully. The Broncos have their guy in Locke, hopefully. But if any of those don't work out, then who knows? Maybe Cam Newton will get a call. But until then, I honestly don't see anyone going out and signing Cam. There's another name I want to throw out, and it shocks me that he's a free agent. Jadeveon Clowney. We know he was a force in college. He's been pretty good in the NFL, but not great. Injuries have definitely set him back. But I would say when he's on the field, he is definitely a force, and teams got to take note of where he is at all times. There have been some talks with teams. Like, I know the Jets were thrown out there as a possible spot, but that doesn't seem likely. I know Castle would be very for that decision. But I'm just curious. Like, there's many organizations that could use a pass rusher like him. Where do you see him going? Start with Steve this time.
So the last couple reports I saw of teams interested in him were the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns, they have a lot of money they're dishing out to players like Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Miles Garrett's going to need a contract extension. They just signed Austin Hooper. You know, so they had a lot of young guys that are going to need extensions, or they already have a lot of key guys under contract. So I think the Titans could be the best landing spot for him. The only thing with Clowney, similar to Newton, is Clowney will be a starter wherever he goes, but the amount of money he's looking for is not what his numbers and stats have proved or shown. And he was wanting some big, you know, money like for a pass rusher, but he hasn't really. Last season with Seattle, he was good, but he didn't get a lot of sacks that they thought he would. So I think the Titans, they traded Jarrell Casey to the Broncos. So they lost one of their pass rush. They have some young guys so they can learn under him. And we saw the Titans were in the AFC Championship last year. So if they sign him, you know, he could definitely help them bring that team to that level, or maybe even the next step, which is a Super Bowl. So for me, I think the Titans would be the ideal spot for him. However, he may have to negotiate more with the salary number and be be willing to maybe take a little less than he wants, but he would actually be getting what he's worth.
The Titans, huh? The Titans. I gotta say, Steve, when you put that out there, the Titans, I could definitely see it as a landing spot for him. It seems like they're heading in a direction, a very exciting direction. I think Clowney can really be a huge part of that defense. Love Tennessee's coaching. Love Tennessee's coaching. So I think he could really fit well into that system. So I like Tennessee. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I gotta like the Jets for him. You know, I think the Jets are not a terrible option. They've got some decent guys on that defense. They got Mosley. I think Clowney, the New York market, you know, definitely could be an option for sure. Okay, Steve, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt too. Possibly Chicago, if they can pull something off. I mean, him and Khalil Mack together would be absolutely unstoppable. I mean, battles in the trenches would be, you know, nothing compared to playing the Bears. But I'm going to say that he's going to re-sign with Seattle. And here's why. Russell Wilson, in my opinion, is one of the most respected players throughout the entire league. I think he has great respect for the organization. I think the organization has great respect for him. And there was a comment or a statement made a while ago by him saying that, indirectly basically saying that Clowney is a huge part of a future Super Bowl run for them. So I think if Wilson really has that mentality and if he has as much pull as I think he does, do not be surprised if he can convince Clowney to take a little less money for a Super Bowl run. So I say Clowney goes back to Seattle.
I tuned you out after you started talking, after the Jets saying he won't go to the Jets. I liked hearing you saying Clowney of the Jets. It was like music to my ears, Castle. But no, the Titans, Seattle, the Jets, the Bears, those are good options. I'll go with the Jets. I'll be a little unbiased here, you know. He's a good fit. Jets need a pass rusher. We have a top five defense in the league. And then with the Clowney and that pass rush, which we very desperately need, that would be a great fit. Another name who I haven't heard his name been brought up in a while now is the one and only Antonio Brown. Yeah, he comes with a lot of baggage, but if he could get his act together, we know what he will produce on the field. He is arguably a top receiver on the field, aside from his off-field issues. Any team will get a huge upgrade in their receiving core with him. But you take the chance with his history. And who knows, when he signs, there will be a suspension that will be coming. We don't know how long that will be. But do you see a team taking the chance on him anytime soon, at least? Alex, you're making a face. You go first.
Bro, he's going to – well, actually, okay, wait. I don't know if they could financially pull it off, but I got to say Tampa. Him, after those few games that he had in New England, him and Brady developed some sort of relationship. And to me, on social media, it seems like they've been – you know, making statements about each other, wanting to play with each other. Although now looking at their receiving core and their tight ends, I don't know if they really would want to do it. Could see him signing with Tampa. Who else could I see him? Outside chance that he goes back to Pittsburgh. I do know that he's made the situation there a little better. I'm not sure how he still is with Big Ben and with Juju, but I know some players in Pittsburgh have forgiven him, so I will say that. And then the final team that I'm going to say is Miami. That's going to be my dark horse team. I'm going to say Miami. They've just signed a lot of new players. Antonio is from Florida. He lives in Florida. He works out in Florida a lot. I think he'll really like to work with a young quarterback like Tua. So I'm going to say either Tampa, Pittsburgh, or he goes to Miami, which I think is the most likely. Sorry, Josh, but Brown's coming to the AFC East.
Castle, it's interesting to see Miami because I was kind of thinking them. It's tough with Antonio Brown because you really don't know. But a team that actually I thought of while we were thinking this. So Miami's an interesting one because Devontae Parker, he kind of showed that he could be a wide receiver one, but they still need a elite receiver. So Antonio Brown would have filled that void. But I think that he might join his cousin Hollywood in Baltimore with the MVP, Lamar Jackson. I mean, imagine that, because they have worked out together, and I'm sure those two guys would help Antonio Brown almost, even though they're younger than him. And I'm sure Antonio Brown would not – I think he's over his whole drama and everything else that happened with him. I think he kind of realized, like, wait, why am I throwing away my career for – stupid stuff like that. So he could go back, play his former team, the Steelers, twice a year, big rivals. He could play with, I'm like 99.9% sure that Antonio Brown and Marquise Brown are cousins.
They are,
yeah. So imagine those two. I mean, because Antonio Brown would want to make Marquise Brown better. You know, he always has worked out with him even before Marquise entered the NFL. So, you know, he's going to have the right mindset there. And Lamar, listen, we got to give Lamar credit. He's a leader. He, you know, he's a great guy on the field, off the field. So imagine that three-headed monster plus their defense getting a little better. I mean, that could be a Super Bowl caliber team. And that offense could put up 50 points per game. So it's tough to think. I'm trying to think of any other places. And really, to be honest, I think Baltimore could be the best or most ideal situation for him.
I like that. So, I don't know. For some reason, when I think of Antonio Brown, I get Ricky Gervais vibes from Show Ballers on HBO. And I say that because in the show, Ricky Gervais has a lot of off-field issues, and he's got to deal with them. And one place after he dealt with his issues, he signed with, he was able to get a 1-year deal with the Green Bay Packers to play with Aaron Rodgers. So I could see Antonio Brown, sorry, Steve, going to the Green Bay Packers, a team that did not draft any receivers in the draft, a team that needs receivers besides Devontae Adams. Rodgers needs some target to throw to because there's only so much that Devontae Adams could do. Castle, you know, he was your most underrated athlete last week. Aaron Jones is a top running back in the league, but there's only so much that those two could do. So, like the great Ricky Jarrett did in Ballers, I think Antonio Brown will do in real life. Stevie, you want to comment?
Oh, here's the thing. Yeah, I do. Well, first of all, Rodgers is not going to have time when he's got Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, and Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman coming his way. And like we said with Clowney, listen, Clowney would have been nice, but we got Robert Quinn, who was very successful. So to be honest, we still upgraded that position. But so Rodgers is not going to have time. But if I'm actually going to be true and honest, it's like, yes, Antonio Brown's talent, you know, would make that Packers seem really good, and they could put up a lot of points. But we think that he's starting to get better and not have that crazy mindset like he did last year with all that drama. But if he's still a bit of a locker room issue, Packers are one of the last teams that need that in the locker room. I mean, they already have – not that Rodgers is a headache, but he's kind of got his own ego. You know, so with that whole thing, I don't know. They could butt heads. The talent and what they could do on the field would be unreal and probably unstoppable. But you also got to think what happens in the locker room and if those guys are not meshing well, especially with your quarterback. And how would that make Devontae feel? Obviously, Devontae wants probably someone else. But is he going to want Antonio Brown? Because Antonio Brown's going to get all the spotlight and fame. Not that Devontae necessarily wants it, but Devontae goes from an elite number one receiver in the league, and especially their number one guy, to maybe their number two guy, and Antonio Brown being their guy, the lead guy. So Devontae may not necessarily like that. I don't think that would happen, but these are some of the things you got to think of. And not just with the Packers, but with any of the teams we have listed, or if any of our listeners, if they think of a team that they may feel Antonio Brown could join. You know, it's tough for the guy like that who is very talented, but sometimes his actions and his their drama or their, you know, whatever, their actions just gets in front of their production and their actual talent for the sport.
Yeah. I like what you said there, Stevie. So before we close the show, I just want to say that I mentioned at the top of the show, we have a game to do. And as the season is coming to an end, the three of us thought it'd be a great idea for you listeners to get involved. So we're coming up with a trivia game where each week, well, before we close the show, we're going to ask a trivia question in which you, the listeners, if you know the answer, you will DM us the answer on our Instagram at the 3Pete Podcast. And if you get the answer right, you will be entered into a raffle in the near future. You could enter the raffle by getting the questions right. So we have 3 weeks left of 3Pete Podcast episodes. You'll be able to be entered as many times, up to three entries into this raffle for a cash prize. So without further ado, the first question this week will be, in the 2006 and 2007 Super Bowl, it was the only Super Bowl in which the opposing coaches were African American. Who were the two coaches? And say the teams as well. So if you think you know the answer, DM us the answer on at the 3Pete Podcast. Make sure you follow as well. And with that being said, that'll wrap up this week's show. Stay tuned for more trivia next week and more content in other sports. Thank you all for listening.